Would you take a Bible and join me as we turn together to 2 Peter, Peter's second letter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, you'll find that passage on page 1298. Do you ever find yourself forgetting things? Does that ever happen? I seem to be increasingly doing that. I can't tell you the number of books I have for memory improvement that I've read. And yet I still find myself in need of crutches to remember things. My memory just isn't what it once was. I will often, if people stop me, especially on a Sunday, and want to share something with me that I need to remember, I will say, send me an email. Because I can't count on myself to remember that without something in writing. That's why I'm grateful for things like a smartphone. All right? I have an iPhone, and it can be a tool, good tool, or it can be a master. I use it as a tool, and the most used application on my smartphone is my reminders app. Now, my family thinks it's the weather app. I don't know what it is about old men and the weather, but there's just something about it. But anyway, it's really not. It's the reminders app is what I use. But sometimes that's not, you know, I have to find the right place and everything, and I can't trust thumbs, so I still need something like this. This is an old-fashioned notebook, right? And I have a pen so I can write things down. The point is this: we often need reminders of things, even important things. I still, with all of these helps and everything, I'll go off and leave my wallet at home and suddenly discover I don't have it with me. That didn't used to happen, but it happens now on occasion. How do we forget important things? How do we remember important things? Peter was very concerned that Christians remember some very important things. In fact, in this second letter, first chapter, he writes this, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. In other words, Peter says, I know that my death is not too far away. As our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, to recall these things. So he wrote them down so that they could remember them. What are these things that Peter considered to be so important that he said, I want to remind you of them, and I'm writing them down so that when I'm gone, you'll have them to remember? Well, it's the things that we're going to look at in the first 11 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. They're things related to the fact that as Christians, we are to look like Christians. Increasingly like Christians. In fact, increasingly like the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned some qualities, some character qualities that should be in our lives, that should characterize us, and more as we live and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So follow along as I read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I encourage you to follow along in a copy of the scriptures. It will help you, trust me. Simeon Peter, that's a variation of Simon, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, To those who've obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray one more time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us in writing great reminders of what you have done for us and what you have provided for us, so that we, having escaped the corruption of this world, that we may become more Christ-like, that we may indeed experience and display what it means to belong to Jesus. Not just that at some point in the past, whether it be recent or distant, that we made some decision, but Father, that indeed we have been not only purchased with a price, that price being the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have also been raised from the dead spiritually, and we have new life, life that is being nourished, life, Lord, that is being transformed by the renewing of our minds as we seek you through your word, as we experience the power of your spirit, Lord, so that we are becoming day by day, moment by moment, like Jesus. Father, it often does not seem that way to us, but Lord, we trust that you are indeed at work in us. And we praise you and we thank you that you have made this possible. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us not only to desire this, but also, Lord, by your grace and for your glory, to work toward it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what Peter is saying here is that we are to make progress in the Christian faith, that if we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be the evidence of a life that has not only been changed, but is being changed. And so there are a number of things that he points out here. And he starts, first of all, with the prospects for progress. That is, who is it that he expects to make progress in the faith? Well, who has he written this to? To those... verse 1 to second part of verse 1. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is writing to believers. And he says, those who have obtained or received a faith, a genuine faith like ours. Now here, Peter is using faith as a shorthand for salvation. You have received faith. You have received the ability to repent of your sins and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is both a command to be obeyed, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also is a gift to be received. The Apostle Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he's writing to people who have this faith, that is believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says they have obtained it by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, there's the gospel right there. How is it that we can, by faith, stand accepted by God? How can we stand forgiven by God? How can we be children of God? It is by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't present our righteousness. If we try to do that, we're in trouble. We don't present our good deeds, our good works. We present those of the Lord Jesus Christ, his merit, his righteousness. The Apostle Paul expresses it like this in the verse that I've used many, many times, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Paul writes that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin and gives us his righteousness. Let me just say this. If you are trusting in your own righteousness, if you're trusting in anything you've done, then you are not right with God. Your trust must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his sinless life, his atoning death on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead. If you don't understand that, please talk to me or talk to Pastor Greg. Or if you're a lady and would feel more comfortable talking to a lady, we can help you out there as well. The prospects for progress are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying is that if you have this righteousness, if you have received this faith, then there are some expectations for you, and there have been provisions made for you. You must be a believer. You must be alive spiritually in order to grow spiritually. That's what Peter is saying. The second thing that we see here are the provisions for this progress in the faith. He encourages us by explaining to us what God has done so that we can grow, so that we can move from just merely being born again to becoming transformed, becoming more obedient, more holy, more, as I've said, more Christ-like. What has he done? What has he done? Well, in verses 3 and 4, Peter says that God has given us two things that will enable us to make progress, to grow as a Christian. In fact, he says this. Let me read it. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Peter does not mean that we become gods, all right? There is some heretical theology, even among some in Christendom, that teaches something like that. We will never become God or gods, all right? But we will become like the Lord. We do partake in his nature as we are born again. So what has he done? First of all, he says his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The greatest display of God's power in the universe is not the creation of the world out of nothing. It is the creation of new believers, the creation of new people out of dead people, the creation of friends of God out of enemies of God, the creation of new life where there was once spiritual death. And Peter writes, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It was God's power that accomplished everything necessary for us to be forgiven of our sins, reconciled to the Father, and granted eternal life. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 3. Let me turn to it. If you want to follow along, you can probably beat me to it. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power. What is that power that's at work within us? It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that same power that raises us from the dead spiritually to have new life. This power provides not just new life, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything we need to live as new creations in Christ, everything that we need in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has provided to us by his Spirit. He provides for us everything we need. There is nothing lacking. In Romans 8, 31 and 32, Paul wrote, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, he's not talking about material things there, all right? He's not talking about, you know, you're going to be financially prosperous, or he's not talking about, you know, you're going to be a supermodel, you know, or that kind of thing. He's not talking about material or physical things. He's talking about spiritual things, because in context, in Romans 8, Paul is talking about what God has done for us in Christ and what God is still doing for us in Christ, and how there's nothing that's able to separate us from God. He who did not spare his own son, he will graciously give us everything we need to become conformed to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided his power by his Spirit to do that for us. Not only that, Peter writes, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. God's promises enable us to grow into Christ-likeness. As we latch hold of them, as we believe them, as we apply them to our lives, they enable us to move towards Christ-likeness. What are some of the promises? Some of them are just statements, are statements of fact, like Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If there is better news anywhere, I don't know it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:14, Paul writes, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. You have the Spirit. In Romans 8:11, he says, the Spirit who indwells you gives life to you. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. John 15:7, if we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, we can ask whatever we will and he will do it for us. And again and again and again, God makes promises to his people. And the Lord keeps his promises. And Peter says that it is these promises, accompanied by God's power, that God has provided so that you and I can say no to sin and yes to God. So that we can walk in obedience to the Lord. That we can pursue the holiness without which, the scripture says, no one will see the Lord. The question is, are we availing ourselves of what God has provided? His power and his promises. Do we regularly remind ourselves of this? That's why Peter wrote this. He wanted to remind these believers and us of what God has provided for us. Why? Because in the midst of life, we can forget what God has done. We can forget what God has provided. Satan, the evil one, who is real, works 168 hours every week, every hour of every day of every week to blind us to these truths. So we need to be reminded of what God has provided for us. How many of y'all remember the movie Castaway? Now, if you were born before 2000, you're too young for that because that's when it was released. Many of us remember that movie about obsessively punctual FedEx executive Chuck Nolan, played by Tom Hanks. He's en route to an assignment, and the plane goes down over the Pacific. He winds up as a sole survivor of the flight. He washes ashore in a deserted island. When his efforts to sail away and contact help fail, Chuck learns how to survive on the island, where he remains for years, accompanied only by his best friend. Remember? Wilson, the volleyball, right? A few years later, after that movie was released, during Super Bowl 37, FedEx produced a commercial kind of poking fun at that movie. And in the commercial, the Tom Hanks lookalike goes up to the door of a suburban home, package in hand. Of course, this is after he was rescued from the island. When the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years in the deserted island. And during that whole time, he kept this package in order to deliver it to her. She gives a simple thank you. Some of you remember at the end of the movie how he goes up and delivers that. But in the commercial, he's curious about what's in the package that he'd been protecting for all those years. So he says, if I may ask, what was in that package after all? She opens it and shows him the contents. Oh, not much. Just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds. You know, nothing really all that important. Of course, the point is obvious. Exactly the kinds of things that he needed on that island. In similar fashion, God has provided exactly what we need. He has provided his divine power and his precious, great promises to us so that we may grow, so that we may make progress in the Christian life. And Peter builds on that. And he says, so then, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge. And he goes on to list these qualities. Peter gives us a pattern for progress. That's the third thing that we see here. Not only the prospects for progress and the provision, but the pattern for progress. And the point here is that the key thing, we're going to look at these qualities But they're not the most important thing. The most important thing that I want us to see is that we are to be increasing in them. They are to be ours increasingly, Peter says. Peter says we should be adding or supplementing to our faith these additional qualities. Virtue or goodness or excellence. This is a difficult word to translate. It's translated different ways. In fact, this is the same word that is used in a little bit earlier in verse 3, where it says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." His own glory. The word excellence there is this same word that's translated virtue here. So whatever it means in relation to God, we're supposed to have it. We're supposed to be good. We're supposed to be virtuous. We're supposed to do the right thing and have the right character. And then added to that is knowledge. We're not going to look at each of these in detail, but knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of his word. Knowledge of his will for our lives. Self-control. Boy, if anything is lacking in our day, it is self-control. In fact, the lack of self-control is even promoted and worshiped today. Steadfastness. Steadfastness. Perseverance, we might say. Endurance. Steadfastness. Godliness. Brotherly affection. Not just tolerating one another, but having affection for one another. And love, of course. This is, I believe, a representative list. It's not an exhaustive list. Because there are other places where we find other qualities. The fruit of the Spirit, right? Now, some of them are duplicated. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The point is this. We are to not just be characterized by the fact we prayed a prayer at one point and asked Jesus to be our Savior. We made a decision. You know, there's a bumper sticker that I've seen, and you've probably seen it too. It says, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." All right? Now, that is factually true. But it can also be an excuse for bad attitudes or bad behavior. For, well, you know, I'm not perfect. Granted, none of us is perfect. We won't be perfect in this life. But if we're satisfied with that, something's wrong. Peter says that we are to make every effort, because God has provided what we need. He's provided his power. He's provided promises. We are to make every effort then to supply or to supplement our faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And then he adds this. For if these qualities are yours, and what? And what? And what? And are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Expectation and the possibility. That's what's so good. It's possible not only for us to have them, but for them to be increasing. How is that possible? Because the Lord has provided. He has provided his divine power and his great and precious promises to us. Will we reach perfection in this life? No. And anybody that tells you otherwise simply has a higher regard for themselves than they need to have, and don't really understand how sinful the human heart is. However, That ought to be our goal. We ought to be moving towards perfection, Christ-likeness. We ought to be pursuing holiness. The writer of the Hebrews says, pursue peace with all men and the holiness without which no one will what? No one will have a good life? No. Without which no one will see the Lord. We must pursue this. This Christ-likeness, this holiness, this character. And that's really the fourth and final point that I want to make, and that is the protection of progress. When we are bearing the evidence, the fruit, if you will, of a saved life, of one who belongs to the Lord, Peter says, first of all, it prevents us from being unfruitful or ineffective as believers. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be effective and fruitful? If you're a Christian, I already know the answer to that. Yes. You want to be effective as a believer. You want to be fruitful. You want to bear not only the fruit of the Spirit, but you want to have the fruit of influence with others for the sake of the gospel. You want to make a difference for the kingdom of God. How do we do that? Well, one of the things that Peter emphasizes here is if we are growing, if we are progressing in these qualities, they will keep us from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more here. It also gives us assurance that we really do belong to the Lord. Notice what Peter says. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we're not growing, are we really alive? Right? If you have a plant that's not growing, it's probably dead. Right? Or at least diseased. Something's wrong with it. If there is a Christian who isn't, a quote-unquote Christian, who isn't growing, something's not right. If we're not making progress, there is a problem. And we need to make sure, we need to make our calling and effect and an election sure, right? That's what Peter says. And what's one of the ways that we do that? By saying, oh, I remember when I was 10, walking the aisle and praying a prayer and getting baptized. It's not what Peter says. Oh, I remember when I made that decision. I remember when I... No, Peter says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. He says, therefore, be all the more diligent. Confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to make your calling and election sure? Do you want to be fruitful and effective as a Christian? Then understand the prospects for progress are those who are genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have received the same kind of faith that Peter received. That is, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Repentance towards sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The provision for progress is already there. It's not something you have to look out, not something you have to hunt for. It's something that we receive when we receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Something that God provides by His Spirit and through His word, His divine power and precious promises. The pattern is that we will be increasingly demonstrating more and more Christ-like character. Really, that's essentially what Peter is saying. Is this your desire? Is this your goal? Will you make this your goal for 2019? That you will add these qualities increasingly in your life? In other words, that you'll make it your goal, your main goal above all your other goals, to be more like Jesus at the end of 2019 than you are right now. Will you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have not left any of our salvation up to us. That you are the God who has taken the initiative. You're the God who, in spite of our sin and because of our sin, sent your Son, your one and only Jesus, to atone for sin in order that we might be forgiven, in order that we might be restored to a right relationship with you. And Father, as followers of Jesus, as believers in the Lord Jesus, you have provided for us your Spirit who's given us life. You provided, Lord, power through your Spirit and through your Word and through relationship with you. And Lord, you provide your precious promises so that we may grow. Lord, we pray that you would help us to make it our aim. Lord, that we would make every effort to be more like Christ in these qualities and others, Lord, that we see in your Word. Not just at the end of 2019, but Lord, at the end of this month and the next month, Lord, that we will make progress in our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name.